I think we'll just take a look at these together. Jesus was motivated by compassion for the poor who had followed him out into the wilderness. This is the story. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples, they gave them then to the crowds. And all ate, and all were filled, and they took what was left over, the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. Imagine all the leftovers from your Thanksgiving table. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Tomorrow is his turn. Can you imagine having to share with a sibling? One of you gets to eat today, the other gets to eat tomorrow, but you have to take turns. And did you notice in our skit that it was the guest they fed and one of the others had to go without? Have you ever noticed that catastrophes and crises, they seem to bring out the best and the worst in people? I've been reading about the typhoon in the Philippines, and I have been struck by illustrations of both. And I was reading about people on one of those hot, sunny, humid days who had no food and no water, how they had queued up, lining up outside a rice warehouse, hoping to get something to eat. And finally, the armed guards, from the pressure of the crowds, could no longer restrain them. And when the people surged forward, actually some of the walls of the warehouse collapsed. 8 people were killed, and others made off with sacks of food. Catastrophes, they bring out the worst in people. But that's not all. Sometimes they bring out the best. Because in another place in the Philippines, a community worked together. One man knew he had a stronger house than others, so he gathered up 45 of his neighbors who found shelter. And they were just yards from the edge of the water. And they certainly experienced the surge of the sea during the typhoon. They had to make their way to the second floor, and the water, they said, came up to their waist. But they survived, 45 of them. 18 of them were still there a few days later, sharing together what they had to eat. This particular man's wife was a party caterer, so she had set aside food for the storm in case they were going to be needing something to eat. And one of the men nearby who had been saved had a pig that they slaughtered and shared, and it just so happened that there was a Coca-Cola bottling plant next door, so they helped themselves after the typhoon. But they shared together as a community. Catastrophes bring out the best in people and the worst in people. You know, it's ironic, the world that we live in. There are some people who are starving. They don't have enough to eat. There are others who are obese, who have more than they need to eat. And there are still others who are affected by anorexia, who are actually starving themselves. The irony of all those situations, it doesn't fail to hit me. You know, you think about hunger, and I realize that hunger often divides. When there's not enough to eat, not enough to go around, it usually seems that some people have more than they need and others don't have enough. Not always enough to go around, or so it seems. But hunger, well, hunger, I think, unites. When we go hungry, it actually brings us together. That's a common need that we all have. And wasn't it Jesus who told his disciples to pray? And when you pray, say, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread." How practical is that? Jesus telling us that when we pray, to pray for our daily bread, not our weekly bread, but our daily bread. pray this way. Jesus expected us to do so, admonished us to do so. He said, go ahead, pray this way when you seek the Father. You know, I had an opportunity, and you don't always realize that every table is the Lord's table. I got invited, my wife Kath works for Northwestern Counseling and Support Services, and of all places I was surprised, but they invited me, and it's not even the first time, to come and offer a prayer of blessing. I didn't really expect that from a mental health agency, and when one is invited to do so, you do it with respect, with great deference, but I was still surprised that they invited a pastor to come and offer a blessing, even in a setting like that. Apparently, people, even in those settings, if you perhaps had any doubt, are grateful for what we have, their annual meeting, but a chance to say thank you for the very basic food that we have and share together when a community gathers at common tables, the Lord's table. Every time we sit down to pray, many of us pray, we take an opportunity to say a simple prayer to thank God for what we have. And it's not just about the food, but it really is about the one who provides the food for us. It's not so much the food that gets the blessing as it is God. When we say, thank you, Lord, for what you have provided for us. And then you hear that story that we get in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is a story that's told in every one of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all told it. This is the only story that all four Gospel writers share in common. Apparently, they were all impressed, or it was pretty doggone important, because they all recorded this story about Jesus feeding thousands. And all it took was 5 loaves and 2 fish. I love this story. Jesus was going off, and he was going into the wilderness. He just wanted a chance to withdraw, the opportunity to spend some time with his disciples, teaching them in a very personal way, and a little bit of time to spend with his Father in prayer. But the people followed, and when they found him, I love what happened. Jesus didn't scold them. He didn't send them away, but he was moved with compassion. And Scripture, when it uses that word compassion, it's a really interesting word because it means that the word is splanchnizomai. Wow, is that a mouthful, isn't it? It's a wonderful Greek word, but it means he was moved in the innermost being. They thought that the center of a person's being was in the abdomen, and sometimes they use the word kidneys. But from his innermost being, Jesus was moved by what he saw in the crowds, and he healed them. And toward the end of the day, he noticed that they were getting hungry, and so did the disciples. And the disciples were also moved with compassion. And they said, Jesus, as they appealed to him, why don't you send them away? Perhaps they can find food in some of the outlying villages if you send them away now. It's been a long day. They're weak. They're tired. They're getting hungry. And I love the response of Jesus. He says, they don't need to go away. And then he looks at the disciples and says, John, Tim, you feed them. I don't know about you, but if he looked at me and said, you feed them, I don't think I would know what to do. And I think they must have looked at him for just a moment and probably done a double take. What? How are we ever going to feed so many people as this? That's just not possible. Whatever happened next was an extraordinary miracle. What happened was that everybody ate, and how many baskets full of leftovers were there? 12 baskets. They started with what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. I love this story because that would have been about the portion for one family. 5 loaves, 2 fish, enough to feed one family. And some of the Gospels tell us that it was a little boy who had the basket full of food for his family. But he brought what he had and he shared. All it takes is one person to start. And then Jesus, well, he multiplied from there. First, did you notice he gave thanks? And then there was plenty for everybody. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to be part of a worshiping community. And I met a couple that I didn't know later was going to be featured and to have an opportunity to speak on the platform. And as we were talking, we got acquainted a little bit. So I was really mesmerized to hear their story. They were from Germany. And it was the Lord who directed them with their children, their 3 children, to go to Africa. And they were sent to a war-torn country to provide for the orphans. That was the call of God on their hearts, to go and round up as many orphans, those who had been lost, those whose parents had been killed in the war, and take care of them. So that's what they did. They were both university professors. They gave up their positions, went to Africa to care for the least of these. They had about 200 children, orphans, and they had to move and often flee because of the marauding bands of guerrilla fighters to try to protect the children. This did not go unnoticed by others who noticed their plight. And one day a woman brought a pot of food to them, and she said, "This is for you and your children." And the woman thanked her, and she said, "No, you don't understand. This is for you and your children." And she meant your three. "This is for you." And the woman said, No, thank you. "This is for all my children." She said, "No, for you and your children." And she said, "They are my children. These are all my children." And so finally the woman said, "Okay." And they placed the pot of food down, and then they started to eat, and they ate, and they ate, and it didn't become empty until all had eaten. All 200 ate. It was a miracle. All it takes is one person, like that mother, to say, "No, all of these are my children, every one of them, all 200. And the miracle was that God provided and multiplied what they needed. Or was the miracle that sometimes our hearts and attention are turned to those around us, to our neighbors? Jesus saw the hungry and the tired and the weak. The disciples saw too. But when Jesus gave thanks, a miracle occurred. Well, this is one of those seasons when we have an opportunity. Becky, why don't you come on up? When we have an opportunity to think about our neighbors. Some of them don't have enough, and we don't always know who they are. Some of us look pretty well put together on a Sunday. We may drive a decent vehicle when we pull in the parking lot. It's hard to tell who's who and what's what and what's really happening. But I love the way that Jesus turns our attention to our neighbors. So this is one of our neighbors, Becky Pelkey. Come and share.
Oh, no. Well, that's not a good thing. Hello. Can you hear me now? Oh, no. Well, I hear you now, because I can hear me now.
Are you good, Dad?
Yay, thank you, God. Hi. Well, here we are, almost at Thanksgiving. And the deacons, not the deacons, the mission team decided that we needed to look at something bigger than what we've been doing as far as bringing canned goods once or twice a season, a year. Because hunger doesn't stop at these doors. And though those canned goods are very helpful and do feed, I bet Cheryl's sitting over there going, "Oh, please don't discourage them from bringing, you know, canned goods." I just want to first start by saying I'm honored to be able to call this church family, this church, my family. Even you, John. God's love is alive and well in this church. The mission statement that the mission team has adopted for 2013-2014 is to share God's love by educating the congregation on the needs of God's people and encourage them to take action and to help find ways to aid in need through Christian love. We asked, the team asked probably a couple of months ago, did a survey and asked what the congregation felt was the needs in our community. And so I'm going to give you what those results were. One of them came through as in elders ministry, that there's a need in elders ministry to take time and spend with them and to let them know that they're loved. Excuse me, my mouth is dry. Never goes dry, but here we are. The next one came from the Milton Family Community Center, and they gave a whole list of what the needs are out there, one being that there's a need for volunteers to do Meals on Wheels. Homelessness. There is homelessness in this community. You may not see it, but it's there. Gasoline cards. Can you imagine gasoline cards because people can't get to their appointments? So they need gasoline cards or fuel assistance. The other thing is to provide rides to the elderly or the disabled who are in need of either going to run errands or to doctor's appointments. Diapers and formula. I mean, that's a basic, basic need. Diapers and formula. Home and auto repairs. These were what Milton Family Community Center had got together. These are some of their needs. And again, hunger, you know, feeding. The reason we, as I said before, why we chose to do this hunger awareness was it wasn't just good enough to give once or twice a year to the food shelf. You know, God thinks big, and we are only limited by our minds. We don't know what we don't know, but if you ask God, he will let you know. What does God have planned for us when it comes to this? I don't know. Stay tuned. There are different websites, as you all know, this time of year where you're being inundated. I can't open a newspaper. I can't turn on the TV. You know that that hunger is out there. They're now saying that we saw 1 in 7 and 1 in 6 who are nationally hungry, that are hungry, or food insecure. Have you heard the word food insecure? Food insecure. It's really actually 1 in 5. That shake you a little more? 1 in 5. Amazing. Due to September 9th, 2013, Congress chose not to reenact the AARA Act, which is known as American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. This was implemented in 2009 in order to stimulate the economy for jobs and everything. Our economy isn't doing much better, but yet this is where $40 billion is being taken from. $40 billion. Oh, wait a minute. It's $5 billion. Isn't that amazing? $5 billion. Per the website breadfortheworld.org on November 8th, 1 week after the cuts, 1 week, 80 million meals have been eliminated. 1 week. 80 million due to the government cuts. This is nearly all the residents of California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Colorado. They did not eat for a day. Luke 3, verse 11 says, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. I'm going to tell you a story, and this story is about a girl. It may sound familiar, but I caution you this, that the story I'm about to tell you may have a different ending than you all may see, think. This young girl was raised in a large family, and she ends up being the middle child of seven kids. Seven kids. You know, we all have middle children. Are anybody a middle child here? Yeah. We always want to make it better for other people, by the way. And lose ourselves sometimes in that process. This young girl was bullied. You guys out there, anybody been bullied? Bullied. I've been bullied. I was called Bucky Beaver. I was called Chicken Legs, rightfully so. I was hurt. You know, I have this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm saying this over again this morning going, I'm going to talk about bullying also. And I think, we said that. Our parents said that to us. It's almost, I'd like to rather have been beat and had a broken something, because words do hurt. Bones do heal. Words hurt to your very core. So, bullying, as we know, is an epidemic. But we're not here for bullying. We're here for hunger. Just wanted to touch on that. This young woman was raised in an alcoholic home, and with a mother who was very strong and got stronger as the years went on. With the more children she had, the stronger she got. But the young girl never felt comfortable, because her self-esteem was in the toilet, not knowing that. She didn't know that. But her mother sent her to charm school. Sears had a charm school. Does anybody know that? Sears had a charm school. She was taught how to play the piano, how to play the cello. She was, you know, her mother struggled very hard to make sure that the seven children could go to camp on scholarships. You know, she was a miraculous woman. My father eventually succumbed. Oops. Well, there you go. That cat's out of the bag. My father eventually succumbed to alcoholism. Very sad way to die. My mother, I'm a product of a divorce after 40 years. And oh, by the way, it was hard for me, even when my parents, you know, I was all grown up. I was still their child, you know. I still tried to make it better, wanted to make it better for each of them, and felt sometimes that my allegiances, if I were giving an allegiance to one parent, that I was not loving my other parent. And I was an adult. Well, anyway, I raised my children in this church, as I was raised in the church that I grew up in. I became active in this church. I was a deacon. But I was going through the motions. I was going through the motions, because as a mother, that was what I was supposed to do, was bring my children and give them exposure to God. And I did that. But I hadn't gotten it yet, so I don't know how I expected them to get it, you know? Because I was going through the motions. Anyway, I fell away from this church. Got busy having to make a career because my marriage failed. And so through the years, I'd had some really hard times, that whatever could happen physically, illness, whatever. I get it. You know, barely sparing my sisters and my brothers, even though, you know, when I got sick, which was all the time, they had to also go get penicillin shots. So they today, to this day, still hold that against me, and for that I am sorry. But I have a severe accident, and well, I'm working. This is after having 7 major back surgeries, 3 of them being spinal fusions, all in the same place. I go years, and I become addicted to pain medication. And God works best with us if we're broken. Didn't know I was broken, but it wasn't good enough, the physical brokenness that I had, because that's what got me to the addiction. It was the spiritual brokenness that I had. I mean, I was morally, spiritually bankrupt. So years later, I finally faced the fact that, oh, I might be an addict, you know. So I go and I call my doctor and I said, oh, you need to put me in rehab. I need to go to Brattleboro Retreat. And he did. Well, you want humble? My job that I got hurt in, I was in law enforcement. I was a deputy sheriff. I used to bring mental health patients to Brattleboro Retreat in shackles and handcuffs and then take them up to the locked ward. So when I got there, I went up to the locked ward. I went up to the ward, not, you know, of course, it can't be locked. This is me, you know. Why would it be locked for me? It was locked, you know, the door shut behind me. Well, so I remember laying on my bed that night crying. In God's name, what have I done? I have absolutely ruined my life. When at that moment, that very moment, did I not realize that those words I just said were the words that were going to save my life. The courage. So I did this after Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving. Everything's got to be so grandiose, you know. And came out 2 days before Christmas. I will be clean 10 years, December 1st, by only the grace of God. That means no drinking, no drugs, no nothing. Well, sometimes I came back to this church. The hardest thing was to walk up those stairs. And you guys, a lot of you have heard this. But the welcoming and the love that is in this church, the acceptance, is absolutely a miracle. A miracle that I could, again, walk here. I would be embraced and held and loved, taught. And I again was a human being. I had self-worth. Self-worth that I hadn't had as I was growing up. Hunger. I can't, this is really personal for me. And so as we were going and working through this for weeks about what we were going to do and how it should look, we still don't know how it's supposed to look, but we thought a personal story was what needed to happen. And so we thought, okay, we can go get somebody from the family center, somebody will come in and get naked in front of all of you and have this conversation. But I kept on hearing, this needs to be your story. Bless you, Jamie. This needs to be your story. And so here I am telling my story. We all need help. There are people who sit in this congregation who too are either hungry or food insecure or have known that. I am the face of SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. I get it. So I'm telling you this because what I look like on the outside, you know, is not necessarily what's in the inside. I was able to find my way home to this church, to the love of some wonderful, wonderful people. I am honored. I am inspired. I am blessed because I never feel alone. I never feel alone because God's always with me. And I never feel alone because He has placed me here and placed you in my life. Not knowing why, but here I am. Paul writes Philippians 4, verse 10, how grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but for a while you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything I have learned, the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything with help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. But even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Boy, isn't that the truth? This is me thanking you through God. What will God place on your heart? You know? We're about to embark on a journey together that requires judgment be extinguished in your mind, so your heart of God can shine through. Let me leave you with one last exercise. I'm going to ask you to count off 1 through 7. So, Bernie, will you start number 1, please?
1, 5, 6, 7, 8.
No, you start with 1, Alan. Boy, haven't you been around? Weren't you here when we planned this? 1. We're counting off 1 through 7. 5, 6, 7, and 1, 2. So, now that we've counted, now that I almost think you all can count to 7, because you did very well, I'm with this, with number 7, please stand up. Number 7. If you were 7, stand up, please. Well, that's it. You don't get to eat. You're hungry. Take a look. Take a look at your brothers and sisters. They're hungry today. Your neighbors next to you are hungry. Your neighbors in the next house are hungry. You can have a seat. Thank you. Did you know that? We're hungry. Thanks.
Becky talked about a journey that we're about to embark on together. That journey is going to consist over the next 6 days, starting tomorrow into next Saturday. And what Jeff is passing out to you, if you will take one and keep passing around, something that we have labeled the Hunger Games. It's going to run for a total of 6 days. You heard Becky refer to something to SNAP, which is the agency that sends us assistance for food to people who need it. On your sheet, it details what those benefits are. That each person in your house gets allotted $1.80 per meal. So that's $5.40 per day, which is $32.40 per week. So, for the next week, the next 6 days, we are inviting you to participate in our challenge to spend no more than $32.40 per person in your household. And then next Sunday, we're going to be looking for your stories as for how it went. Then on the back of your sheet, you'll find some notes that tell you about the hunger that exists in our community, in the world, all over. So, will you take the challenge? And also, you might be interested to know that the Vermont Food Bank is also running the same challenge for the coming week, which we didn't know about when we started this, but we just found out last week. So you're not alone. There's going to be other people all around you that are taking this same challenge. I don't know. Since we started this, I have become more aware of what I spend at the grocery store. And the other day when I went, they gave me my total and I paid and I said, holy cow, that's more than these people get to spend in a week. So, the only rule for this challenge is to spend no more than $32.40 per person for your household from tomorrow through Saturday. So, and I guess that's all I have to say. Okay. I can do that. So, before we leave, I would just like to pray for all of you, with all of you, that we all have the courage and the strength to just see what it's like for some of our neighbors, and one of them being one of our own, to live like this. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it says in Scripture that you will provide for all of our needs through your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So as we embark on this challenge for this coming week, to see what it's like for people who are less fortunate than we are to try and feed ourselves and our families. We pray that during this coming week that you would provide for all of our needs through your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We pray that you would provide us with the strength and the wherewithal to stick this out, to get creative, to figure out how to make this challenge work, to experience what it's like to live on something less than what we live on now. To live like a lot of other people in our community have to live, and to live like our sister has to live. So, Father, I just pray that you would be with us all. I pray that this would be an eye-opening experience for us, that as we enter into holiday season, that we would become aware that it's even more difficult for some people to put a Thanksgiving meal or a Christmas meal on the table when all they have is $32.40 per person. So thank you for this opportunity. Hopefully we can learn from this. And that above all, Father, just thank you for the love and the care that you have for us. And thank you that we get this opportunity to experience something other than what is normal for us. So, Father, I just pray that you would be with us all, that you would keep us all, and that you would walk with us all through this. In Jesus' name, amen.